Kyle.
What?
We're back. Ah! Cue the music.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Delivery Men Podcast with your host, Adam Zeitler and Kyle Rohde.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Delivery Men Podcast. I am your host, Adam, the Ambassador Zeitler, here with my co-host, Kyle, the Delivery Man, Rohde.
We're back, baby.
We're back.
How's it going, everybody out there?
I just jumped back on the bike.
Yeah, this is, you know, mind you, Adam's bike doesn't have a seat. But the point is he kind of left me hanging for a long time here. You know, he's got a lot going on. Busy guy. A lot of modeling shoots. He's a hand model.
Exactly.
But, you know, modeling nonetheless. So
very important.
Welcome back.
Pays the bills.
I'd like to point out that once again, when I went solo, the listeners actually improved.
It is what it is.
It might have been.
People. I have not seen the analytics, so I can't believe you.
Analytics.
I have to take you for your word.
Oh, well, that's
which I don't believe.
Which you should, because like I said, it was a lonely road, but we're giving it a go.
I'm glad you need us.
Yeah.
Feels good to be back.
Yeah, it's my basement. My basement brings a certain comfort to many people. Actually, that probably sounds really bad. No, that's not, well, we can't cut it from the episode. It is what it is now. But yeah, anyways, welcome back. Thank you for listening. I'm going to go ahead and throw out our socials right away. You can hit us up on Twitter at Deliverment_FF, our Facebook page, the Fantasy Football Deliverment Podcast, or our Instagram, Fantasy Football Deliverment Podcast.
Boom.
Shakalaka.
Boom, shakalaka.
Yep. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean. What?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, talk. I got it. Wait, no, I gotta save that. I was gonna say we were gonna reflect on it.
I did want to bring up, since I don't know if we talked about the playoff challenge, since I don't even remember what our last episode was.
What's the playoff challenge? I don't even remember what that is.
The playoff challenge. I was gonna ask you who won that one. The playoff challenge.
The Delivery Men one.
Yeah, the Delivery Men playoff challenge.
I forgot.
I believe.
Was it? Wait, it was you. Okay, here he's trying to set himself up so he could do some bragging over here. Okay, I was set up pretty bad for that one. Adam did in fact win it.
The first year we decided to split because last year I really brought us down.
Yep.
So Kyle said, "Screw you, I want to do my own team."
I wasn't crude, but yes,
you pretty much did.
Yep.
You threw a pie in my face and you said, "Get out of here. Get out of my life with your stupid picks."
Aww.
Why so blue, Panda Bear?
Yeah. No, I felt comfortable with my picks. And then after about the first week, I was like, that's it.
I crushed it.
Yeah, you did crush it. You actually had quite a bit more than the second place team. I don't even know who it was. But it was obvious prior to the Super Bowl that you had it lock, stock, and barrel.
Crushed it.
Would have probably been a more... pleasing sound effect for the listeners, but yeah, crushed, whatever.
At least I can win something. I mean, this is
you're winning at life. That's true. You know,
the third year in a row, I think, with the Delivery Man League, the redraft, that I've made a very strong playoff push and then just crumbled.
Yeah,
like in either the championship round or the semifinal round.
Are you reflecting on a redraft league?
Yeah.
Yeah, the redraft league for me this year is starting off. No, wait, that was Dynasty where I started off 0-6. No, I was a playoff contender, but it was a very bad team.
Yeah, you just made it. You were the eighth seed, and then you made it to the semifinals, I think, right?
It was to the semifinals, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I forgot what injury was that, like, totally, like, that's it. Oh, man, I cannot remember. But it forced me to make a trade essentially for Josh Jacobs. I traded away my keeper, which was Dalvin Cook, for Josh Jacobs and. Another source I cannot remember for the life of me, but somebody went, oh, Javonte Williams immediately was essentially non-existent in the season last year. So that's what kind of really hindered me. I had higher hopes for him, drafted him with higher draft capital, did not work out in my benefit. But you got to shoot your shot. Oh, and I trusted Kyler Murray, which we know now, if I had stated in prior podcasts, which I'm pretty sure I have, is he's washed. So
your redraft team was basically my dynasty team. And that was my dynasty season in a nutshell. Was Kyler Murray and Javonte Williams.
Yep.
And I actually looked, I had three top 10 players. Like I had A.J. Brown and C.D. Lamb as my wide receivers. They were both top 10. Mm-hmm. I think they were like 8 and 6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Josh Jacobs, which was like a top three.
He was phenomenal. Actually.
And then I looked at the rest of my team. I was like, how did I miss play? How is my team that bad? And they just were.
Probably management.
I think. Probably. Yeah. So this offseason, I made a big trade to get Justin Herbert because my quarterback one pretty much all season was Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't make playoffs.
And I know we're jumping in between redraft and dynasty, and they always say like podcasts should have their niche, like be one or the other. We like to paint with a broad stroke. We like to help you in both redraft situations, dynasty mainly in the off season, because as we get closer to redraft, then we'll focus in on that and what, you know, what's beneficial for you at that time. But dynasty is usually our off season because that's when things are actually getting done, which we will be talking about in this episode as far as the rookies, what has transpired in the off season that is going to either benefit positive or negative, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about other things as all dynasty pretty much.
Talking a little bit of both today.
Yeah. But like I had stated, and I've been a pretty proud supporter of the Kyler Murray is washed theme. I don't know why you continue to fight me on it.
Holding off hope.
Dude, Arizona is essentially tanking this year to get Caleb Williams next year in the draft. They are talking about that. That is
no about
active
that.
Conversation. Oh, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, man. I mean, they got a lot of picks. Next year, they can get whoever they want if they do have the 101. Or they could trade back just like they did this year because they just want more picks.
Right.
I don't know.
The Kyler Murray experience is done. Okay, can we agree on that? Come on.
It's not
done. The dude's 5'3".
It might be done in Arizona, but it's not done.
I don't know, man.
I'm still holding off hope that Trey Lance either gets traded to Atlanta or Minnesota for my dynasty team.
Prior to the season?
I mean, that would be okay with me. Because I'm starting to accept that Brock Purdy might actually be the quarterback there.
Yeah, it turns out he's pretty good.
He's all right.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Still like Trey Lance.
But. Well, no, I mean, you got to like the whole 4 games he's played up until this point.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I get it. But
I think he only played like 2.
I don't know. I just gave you a higher number. I think it was actually 4.
Was it?
In totality. Whether they were full games, that I can't tell you. But
because he played that week 1 against Chicago.
Yeah, and
just
that monsoon.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was like the next game he broke his ankle.
Yep.
I thought it was.
In a non-monsoon. So that, therefore, he could only perform in, torrential downfall, rain, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't make the rules. That's just, they should have probably put that on a scouting report, you know, and then maybe he'd be more. No, but I do have some breaking news for today.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Breaking news.
Emmitt Smith has, oh my God. Emmitt Smith, he was probably playing before you were born. Similar to Emmitt Smith, Ezekiel Elliott, kind of.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear about
this
today.
My goodness. Been testing the waters with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I did hear about that.
For Ezekiel Elliott owners such as myself, this is actually a gleam of light in a very dark tunnel currently. Because
he's still getting interest in Dallas, too.
I think they're really on board with Tony Pollard. They got Deuce Vaughn later on in like the 5th round. It's one of those things where, I mean, Deuce is quite a bit smaller than what Ezekiel Elliott is, but...
You're not worried about Ronald Jones there?
Ronald Jones shouldn't be worried about anywhere, to tell you the truth. We've had the Ronald Jones experience. I mean, he was in Kansas City, you know, last year. And
was he, though?
Was he? I don't know. Maybe.
Did he get a... He definitely got a ring.
Well, yeah, he got a ring out of it.
For, I don't know what...
The trainers get a ring for crying out loud.
I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, imagine he got one.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Ronald Jones. Rojo.
Did make the roster.
Yeah, we had a lot of high hopes for him.
We did.
Mm.
Yep.
I think Adam Moore. I think he had him in a dynasty or something.
I did. And then I traded him for a first round pick.
That is fantastic. But that's what you got to do, is not be caught holding the bag, as they say, and shop those picks while you can.
I think I did it last year before the 2022 draft.
I'd be interested.
Like
to
as
find
soon
out.
As soon as he signed with Kansas City, I'm like, who wants them?
And somebody's like, yeah, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire kind of stinks. So
yep.
Yeah, no, I see that. I mean, that's the main breaking news I had for today, actually. The most recent one, I mean, we're going to go back over the offseason, what that was all about, and touch base on some moves, like I had stated, that are potentially beneficial and hurtful to your dynasty situation. So,
did you see this one trending today? This is just rumors, but second-year quarterback Malik Willis could be in danger of not making the 53-man roster.
I did. You know, I think we had a pretty small sample size of what he was about last year in a kind of roughed up Tennessee. I mean, you know, who was really their number one wide receiving target there
last
year? I mean, Derrick Henry had more receptions than he ever had in his career there. So, I mean, it showed they were leaning on him for pass catching. But other than that, you know, they shopped A.J. Brown in that draft and they didn't really have a alpha number one there anymore. So it's like, is that all you're going to give Malik Willis a shot with? You know,
right.
They got Will Levis now and, you know, second round draft capital states that they want him over Malik Willis, but you know,
this broke from like a reporter in Tennessee and like right after Levis was picked in the second round, there was somebody saying an interesting landing spot for Malik Willis would be Seattle, like if they would trade. But then as soon as this came out, I'm like, if you're Seattle, why would you give them anything if there's leaks that he might be cut?
Oh, right. Yeah, just play the waiting game then and maybe get him off of waivers at that point.
So if that was the plan, it's like whoever this reporter is, it's just like, well, I'm not telling you anything anymore.
Yeah, that's the important part of being a reporter is you got to keep the, you know, cards that you don't want to show all your cards all the time.
Right.
Keep some of them close. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a reporter, but I know if I was a reporter, that's how I'd handle things.
That's how I would do things too.
I feel like I could be a reporter now. Knowing
still
that.
A relationship deal, you know?
What's that?
It's still a relationship deal. Like if you're a reporter, you can get the information and there's sensitive information that you can't just say, hey, this is what I know.
Right.
I think like right around the draft, that's what a lot of people get. Like, we're going to take this guy, but, you know, keep it on the down low. It's like, well, you're not going to go breaking news, you know.
Oh, right.
Atlanta's planning on taking Bijan Robinson. It's like, well.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things too, is they kind of can use that to their benefit as well, where they say, one thing to lead people astray.
Right.
Like they tell somebody like, okay, I know this guy's a blabbermouth. He's going to go ahead and tell everybody. And then they totally, you know, spin it in the other direction.
I really wonder how much of that stuff goes into
I bet you there's a lot of it.
There's got to be a ton.
And they got to filter through like, okay, we don't trust blabbermouth over there. You know? Yeah. It's an interesting game. You know, it's like you got your people that you can trust. You got the people that you can't.
Right.
So bottom line.
So what do you think about the offseason so far outside of the draft?
Offseason? Well, it's been ran by essentially one thing. I mean, the biggest one, other than Tom Brady retiring, enjoy retirement if you stay retired, because I've also heard whispers of that's not even a sure thing.
The same.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe he'll be back. But Aaron Rodgers got what he wanted. He got all the attention, you know, and went and locked himself in a black closet or whatever the crap he did. And then he, you know, came on the other end as a New York Jet, which was like the longest trade process in the history of mankind.
Yeah.
I mean, usually those deals get, you know, done right away. And no, he wanted to.
And then Lamar Jackson resigned.
Lamar Jackson resigning was like the two big deals.
I can't even really think of like free agent signings. I can't even. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're into the football. So you.
Right.
You know, but I can't even think of it.
I got some more refreshers for you if you're interested.
Let's hear them.
Well, we got Derek Carr joining the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that? We're going to play positive, neutral, negative.
Slightly positive.
Because it's an upgrade from the situation last year.
Sure. I mean,
sure.
I think I had, who did I have? Jameis Winston on my dynasty team. So that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to cut him off my team.
Ooh.
Did they give him a fair shake at it either? You know, it's
he was always hurt though.
They re-signed him to a 1-year backup deal. So maybe next year something changes. I don't know. But Derek Carr is much more safe. I guess
conventional quarterback.
You can have more confidence that he's going to be, you know, steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie.
Yep.
Jimmy G going to the Raiders, replacing Derek Carr.
The Mike McDaniels thing, everything that I've been hearing is like, well, Jimmy G knows Mike McDaniels' system. It's like, was Jimmy G with Mike McDaniels like 5 years ago for like two seasons? You know, it's like
as a backup.
As Jimmy G, like you think about Jimmy G in San Fran, mm-hmm. and it's like it's kind of a system. It's not like Jimmy G was a star there. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for Jimmy G to actually be a star. Does he step up? I don't know. But he has Devontae. He has Josh Jacobs.
He's got the weapons.
No more Darren Waller.
Yeah, he's got Mayer at a tight end now.
Right.
So, and he was a great tight end for Notre Dame. So, I mean, it's like, translates to the NFL.
Jimmy G does have an opportunity here to surprise us as fantasy managers.
Kind of solidify himself as actually a good quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Does he? I don't know. Like, who's going to be better, Derek Carr, Jimmy G in fantasy? It's like,
yeah, that's kind of a dart throw.
Yeah.
Feel free to throw a dart at either one and figure it out.
If you would think, like, who has the better weapons, it's probably Devontae over Olave. Because you think those are probably the number ones in their respected offenses.
True, but who do they really have outside of Devontae then? Other than, you know, the possibility
Renfro
had kind of a shaky season last year. He recovered from his injuries. We will see. I mean, because in the Saints, I mean, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, the ghost of Michael Thomas. Michael,
the ghost. and then, you know, you had said Olave. I forgot. Don't they have somebody else that was halfway decent? No, maybe that's not. Maybe that's it. No, this could be a dart throw for sure.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were playing a game. That's probably positive. If you have like the receivers and stuff like that, that's probably positive.
Right.
We have not seen Kyle Trask at all. I'm still holding on to Kyle Trask.
Will we see him?
Kyle Trask?
Do you think we'll see him this year?
Trask?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about Mayfield?
Oh, no, we're going to see Mayfield.
I'd be willing to bet Mayfield starts week one.
Mm-hmm.
Trask, it would really be a shocker if he came out like in the offseason, if he came out and was like, well, we're actually going to go with Trask.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see him towards the end of the season? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope for camp in hearing that Trask might be the guy.
Now, would that be the end for Baker Mayfield if, in fact, he cannot beat out Kyle Trask? Baker had some decent games, not really fantasy decent, but like decent football games last year. Yeah. So,
I mean, if I was a GM, I'd still, I'm sure you could sign him for cheap enough.
Yeah.
If this, you know, season doesn't go well for him.
Miles Sanders to the Panthers. Now we're jumping into the running back category.
Positive. I really like this. I really like this a lot.
And it kind of speaks volumes that they didn't go and get anybody in the draft, you know, or anything like that.
Right.
So it's like, you know, they're going to roll with Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, you know. Well, I imagine it'll be more of Miles Sanders' backfield essentially. So.
Right. And the guys that were there last year were pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, whatchamacallit? Foreman. Yes, Foreman. Easily forgettable guy.
Good offensive line.
Yeah, good offensive
line. And getting Bryce Young. I mean, it's a step up to absolutely anybody that they had last year. So their offense should be better. I think Miles Sanders will be solid this year.
Mm-hmm. David Montgomery to the Lions.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
So you don't know how you feel about that. David Montgomery to the Lions, is that because of Gibbs being taken in the draft?
Well, that was done before the draft.
Oh, I know, but like, were you uncertain prior to the draft of David Montgomery?
No.
You know?
Well, I kind of thought it was a replacement for Williams there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to kind of be the red zone guy, goal line guy to get, you know, the touchdowns. Because I had high hopes for Swift. I think I had Swift in a redraft last year, and it just seemed like when it came down to in the 5 yard, you know, zone,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't get it done.
Yeah, it was always Jamal Williams.
Right.
You know, and he capitalized on that. I mean, ironically, that's the next one I got is Jamal Williams to the Saints.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. I mean, and it's like Alvin Kamara's got that stuff looming over his head and whatnot. So, you know, and we're going to talk about the rookie that they drafted in New Orleans when we get to kind of our rookie segment.
Right.
Devin Singletary to the Texans.
Devin Singletary to the Texans. I think it's more relevant than we want it to be.
Yeah. And it hurts Dameon Pierce owners, right, in my opinion.
I think it does. I think it's not just oh boy.
Wow.
I thought your guitar was going right
there. No, man. I mean, that's the beauty of recording in my basement. We have all kinds of things going on down here. Yeah, no, guitar's safe. Actually, there's not even a guitar in there now that I think about it.
Oh, nice.
It's all for show. Anyways, Devin Singletary, yeah. Like I said, it hurts Dameon Pierce owners. You know, if you're holding out for the workload that Pierce got last year, I have a feeling you're not going to see that. I mean, last year you did have Burkhead start off for the Texans, but Pierce kind of took over after that. So,
right.
It's kind of like a wait and see type situation. I mean, do you feel better about this situation or when he was on the Bills? Well,
I think you feel much better about him on the Bills because it seemed like he was the guy for the Bills, sort of. Mm-hmm. James Cook didn't seem like, you know, he was hurting him all that much. I guess my question here is like, are you scared away from Pierce with this move? Because to me, I'm like, it knocks him down a little bit, but I'm not like not going to take him because of this move.
Well, right. But I think his draft capital and especially redrafts will drop substantially.
Right.
I mean, somebody that you were looking at maybe fifth, sixth round.
I imagine. Well, yeah, that's probably about the range he'll go, which I think I'd be fine with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a running back too, to have that sort of upside.
Mm, that's a good point. Rashad Penny to the Eagles.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, they got Swift there now.
It's gonna be
interesting.
It's interesting with both of them there now, because when he was there alone before the Swift move, it was like, okay, this is interesting. When Swift gets there, you know, two, it's like, well,
I feel like it kind of caps their upside a little bit.
It does. And I think with them being tied to such a good offense, it's really hard to say. Like I tried talking myself into, like, if I was a Swift, if I had Swift on my dynasty team, like, this feels like a sell opportunity. Would I do it?
Depends on if the price is right.
But like Swift for a first, would you do Swift for a first? Like any first, just a random first. You don't have no idea where this team is going to go. They might be in the middle. They might.
I think I would.
Would you?
I think I would.
I don't know what
you
I
don't
would
know
do.
If you would.
I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I feel like if I knew the direction of the team that it was going to go, like mid first or early first, I think I would do. A mid first or late first, I'd be like, I think I'm going to hold on and just see what happens.
I think I'd play into it, whether it was a PPR or half point PPR as well. I mean, sure. If it was PPR, then you got a little more upside with Swift, but that half kind of knocks it down where it's like, eh.
It's definitely a move opportunity for him, because as soon as they draft the guy, it's like, well, Swift is gone.
Well, I mean, and Trey Sermon is still technically like in that backfield too. So that's another person that, you know, maybe he didn't get a fair shake with the 49ers. So maybe, you know, because he's still a young guy. What is he, third season in the league or something like that?
I don't even know if it's that far.
Well, no, because he wasn't drafted last year.
Okay. So he'd be going into his third. But yeah. this was, man, the GM for the Eagles. I forget his name. It's not Sirian. Sirian is the head coach.
You're right.
JJ's mad at me right now.
Oh, JJ can handle it.
But I did hear about this. So the Eagles trade for Swift. They trade a 2025 fourth and a seventh round pick swap, which who cares?
Right.
So if Swift does, if they don't re-sign him, they get a compensatory fourth round pick in the 2025 draft. So they basically got him for a seventh round swap.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad at all. Well, what do you got to lose
then? I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like that guy, he just understands the values. He's just like, I don't care if he doesn't work out. Yeah. You know, it's like, if he doesn't, I didn't lose anything.
The fourth round back.
Yeah.
That's a great way to deal.
It's like, why don't all the GMs think like that? I was like, I don't think they think that far ahead. That dude is on a different level when it comes to this GM stuff, man.
I had stuff, and it's like, we're PG here. We're family friendly show. Cause I had something and I'm like, nope, can't do it. oh gosh. I want to say, I can't. Oh, Damien Harris to the Bills.
Damien Harris to the Bills. It's not nothing. Am I going to draft him? Probably not. Maybe that's like if you're in a redraft, that's like a 13th, 14th, 15th round pick, probably.
Would you do Damien Harris or James Cook first if you were?
James Cook's going to go James first. Cook? I would imagine James Cook is like that in that like 7 to 11 range. That's a big range, but I have no idea where people are going right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still early. ADPs haven't been really sent out there yet. But James Robinson to New England. I mean, you know.
It's tough.
James Robinson is a 1,000-yard rusher, but going to the New England backfield is never a good thing.
I bet you that's that same kind of last couple rounds kind of
dart throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, they still got Ramondre Stevenson there and whatnot, so it's like,
right,
you know, amongst other running backs.
And it's New England, so it's just like it's just a headache. Yeah. You're just drafting yourself a headache
there. Yeah, they just replaced Damien Harris with James Robinson, essentially.
Pretty much.
Yeah, just didn't get rid of that headache. DJ Moore to the Bears.
Positive. Well, it's interesting. To me, it's more positive for Fields than it is for DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. To me, DJ Moore doesn't move a whole lot. Like, he's still in that 25 to 15 range as far as wide receivers. But Justin Fields takes a bump for me.
Because he's got a true number one target.
It's definitely a bump in confidence, because like in fantasy, obviously you want the rushing stats for your fantasy team, but if you get that if you get that passing on top, it's a little bit more safe, it's a little bit more confidence.
Right, another weapon for Fields and some counterpart for Mooney. So yeah, that works out. Juju Smith-Schuster to the Patriots.
I don't care.
You don't care. I like it for Mac Jones. I mean, because what do you have, N'Keal Harry?
I don't know.
And Nelson Aguilar?
I just don't.
I mean, this guy is, at least we know his name. I mean, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not interested in Patriots receivers.
Okay. We can go on record and say that. Yeah, we never really are. Sorry.
I am actually, I'm surprised. Maybe we can talk about it later. We probably won't, but Kayshon Boutte goes to New England through the draft and as a late pick. I'm surprised he wasn't drafted in our draft. I mean, I'm not like,
I'm already six guys over my roster, man. I know. I can't do anything.
I know. I'm like, I keep looking at it and I'm like, I would do it if I had the roster space, but
yeah, there's a whole bunch of people I'm looking at right now, but that's all I can do.
I think the thing about him, like, if you're in our league right now and you see him on the free agents list, go in, put in a $0 bid for him if you get him. I feel like you're going to know what's going to happen before the season, because if he makes the roster, Belichick might like him, because he might not make the roster. Like, this was no sort of, you know, thing for Belichick to just say, well, we didn't draft you very high. You're not going to make the team. So I think you're going to know before the season starts.
If he makes the team.
Right.
Big Bill sees something in you.
Right.
Elijah Moore to the Browns.
I like this one. I like this one a lot.
Go on. I like it for Elijah Moore.
I like it. I mean, right. It's not the Browns that, you know, it's not the Baker Mayfield Browns. This is the Deshaun Watson Browns.
A full season Deshaun Watson.
Right. And Cooper's still going to be the number one there.
Right.
I think Moore has an opportunity to be the number two, at least the number three guy.
Over Peoples-Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think Peoples-Jones is definitely the field stretcher. He might get those, you know, big bomb weeks. But I think Moore will be more your wide receiver three or flex filler kind of guy. If you know, have a couple buys, or I think he can surprise. Like, there's a couple guys that I've been thinking about a lot that I think can surprise. with Deshaun Watson being the quarterback and possibly having the volume, everything that I've been hearing about the Browns this year is they're going to try and dial it back on Chubb and go a little bit more pass heavy. So I think, like, if there's a team, there's always teams that have two guys in the top 24. I think the Browns have an opportunity to at least be that.
I really like Nick Chubb this year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in general.
There's no Kareem Hunt there.
There's no Kareem Hunt there. And they got Jerome Ford. But,
yeah.
I mean, I could see
him. He's a sleeper. I mean, we had this conversation. Like, I picked him up thinking the Browns will probably draft somebody. And it seems like they always have two running backs, you know, whatever. I picked him up on the Dynasty thinking, like I said, they'll draft somebody and then I can just drop them.
I did see
that they didn't draft anybody, and now I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I did see something with Kareem Hunt there that the Browns aren't, whatchamacallit, against bringing him back. But I'm like,
right.
I don't think it's happening. I think so that's either. I think that's done. I know Kareem wanted to get out of there. He told me. And OBJ to the Ravens. I think it's just like a showpiece.
Yeah.
You know.
I think so too.
You know, with their addition of Zay Flowers and whatnot. I think OBJ is just the eye candy for the offense, if you will.
Sure. Yeah. It just kind of got Lamar interested.
It's like, hey, come on back. We got the guy you wanted.
They paid him a lot of money too.
OBJ, yeah, they did, like
16 guaranteed, I think.
Yeah, way more than that dude just keeps raking in the money at these places he goes.
He's making it, man.
Oh man, it's crazy. I gotta figure out how to do this. Adam Thielen to the Panthers.
Old reliable.
Yeah, I mean, a good red zone target for Bryce Young. So, I mean,
In fantasy with rookie quarterbacks, I'm not going to draft him. Nah. He'll probably go undrafted. I mean, he'll probably get drafted, but I don't think I'll be that guy.
No.
That does that.
No, I mean, unless somebody's going off a name value, that'd pretty much be why he gets picked. But like I said, a good red zone target for Bryce Young, it's kind of been his thing in the years past. So, yeah, I mean, cool with that. Alan Lazard to the Jets. I mean, you stay with your quarterback that you've been with. I mean, but it's like Alan Lazard didn't break out last year, you know? So
I don't know.
That's a pretty crowded wide receiver room, by the way.
This one's, yeah, that's like, if he was the true number two guy, if we knew, but like, I would be really interested to see where his ADP is when it comes to draft season, because right now, like, if you were going to guess,
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you got Garrett Wilson there, Randall Cobb now. Right. Corey Davis is still there.
Yeah.
And Corey Davis is a decent wide receiver, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be.
And they got Mecole Hardman, too.
Yeah, that's right. They got Hardman, too. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, they have a pretty decent receiving core.
That's what I was interested when it just broke earlier this week, I think, when they got Cobb last week. I was just like, some of these guys aren't going to make the roster, I don't think. Like,
I don't know,
is Cobb going to make the roster?
That might hurt Aaron's feelings, man.
Right, that's what I mean. It's just like, if they don't cut him here, they got to cut him somewhere else.
Could they sign him back for a water boy?
You know what I thought was, everything that I've been hearing about Green Bay is, we want to get an old veteran, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just bring Cobb back to be a coach.
Well, there
like
you
a
go.
Wide receiver coach. Like,
he's like, I still got a lot left in the tank. That's great. Well, we want you to coach people. Hear me out.
I mean, if you were a 32, like, I mean, obviously he's not what he was before.
Oh, no. No.
But, I mean, your life is in Green Bay. You love Green Bay. Come back to be the coach, man.
But Aaron's like, hey, come on. Let's go to the Kentucky Derby. Let's go. I got some guys from the Jets that want to talk to you.
He probably gets paid a lot more as a wide receiver than a wide receiver coach. Which is weird. Like, okay, so you're Aaron Rodgers, you go to a new system, or even like when LaFleur came in, you know, Rodgers gets paid way more than LaFleur.
Oh, right.
So it's like when LaFleur is like telling you to do stuff, it's just like,
money.
I always wonder, like, how do you, you know?
So it's like if you're one of the, like, the guys on a pirate ship and you find the gold, you don't give it to the captain, you just get to keep it for yourself. I don't know why it's a pirate reference, but nonetheless, it's like, that's supposed to go to the captain, right? Usually the captain of the ship, LaFleur. I don't know.
But like, I guess if you're on a football team, if you are the quarterback, is the head coach your boss or is the GM your boss?
Or are you the boss?
That's what I mean. Like, if
well, I think
if
we the, know Aaron was the boss.
If the head coach, if the coach ever yells at you, be like, bro, why don't you take your quarters and go play in the.
Could he throw $100 bills at the coach and say, go away?
That's what I'm saying.
That would be a baller move. I don't recommend it, but it's like, yeah. DJ Chark, two of the Panthers.
That's whatever. Same thing as like Thielen is like, I'm probably not going to drop. He's a field stretcher kind of guy. He's got speed. So he'll probably have blow up games, but you'll never be able to trust him.
Hmm. Darren Waller to the Giants.
That one's big.
I like that one.
That's a big positive.
I like that
for like all parties involved, basically. Mm-hmm. Darren Waller is probably going to stay as one of the top five tight ends because this is a system where it's like their wide receivers are all the same guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Darren Waller might really be the number one receiver for this offense for Daniel Jones. And I think this is a positive for Daniel Jones too.
Right. I agree with that. Dalton Schultz to the Texans.
He'll probably be drafted. He'll probably be a top 12 tight end, but like one of the,
it's tight end.
Yeah.
This is not tight end premium league. They're not really sexy. They're like kickers. Mike Gesicki to the Patriots. Second contract.
It's fine.
You know,
I know Belichick likes his tight ends more, but it's fine.
Yeah. Hayden Hurst to the Panthers.
Nah,
I know. That's the thing. It's like you go from Joe Burrow to, you know, Young. It's like,
Yeah. And he didn't do much with.
No, he didn't. I mean, you know, and it's like if you didn't do it with Joe Burrows, it's like, You want to talk about some rookies?
Yeah.
Let's
talk rookies.
Bijan Robinson, Atlanta. Every dynasty rookie draft, did you have anyone where Bijan did not go first?
No. I mean, I only had two, but like, was there, if you were there, I know I've listened to a lot of fantasy stuff, and the only person that anybody has brought up to contend with Bijan was Richardson in a super flex because of the upside there.
Right.
But to me, I'm like, Richardson is a chance. Like, you can definitely tell, like, in fantasy, there's a really good, big upside and at the quarterback position.
Right.
But would you rather take the chance or the almost for sure thing in a top 10 running back that you're going to have for the next 5 years? I'll probably go with the running back.
Probably. I mean, if anybody was owner of Algier, that sucks. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I own him in one of my dynasties, and you know he had rushed for the most yards ever for a rookie for the Atlanta Falcons, and you know it's not like he had a ton of draft capital on him, so it was like a good investment. And now he's pretty much done. I mean, Cordell Patterson, same thing. I mean, they want to give Bijan a ton of work. Because I forgot, the coach's name escapes me, is the same one that was with Derrick Henry in Tennessee.
Arthur Smith.
Smith, yep. And this is the guy he wanted. This is his version of Derrick Henry in Atlanta.
Right.
So, I mean, that's probably going to run him until the wheels fall off.
Redraft league, how high are you taking him?
He doesn't get past the first round.
No.
I would probably go...
Top five?
Probably top five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There's just so much going around this guy where it's like, you know, he's like the next thing, like next best thing since like Adrian Peterson and whatnot. So it's like
running back one, two, or three. Like, you think this is going to go? I bet you CMC's going to be up there.
Right.
I don't know. Will Jonathan Taylor be up there in the top three category?
Yeah. I think
so.
JT felt, you know, he was riddled with injuries last year. And I believe that's passed. I believe we're all good there. So,
Saquon, maybe.
Nah, I'd go Bijan over Saquon.
What about JT? Saquon or JT?
Oh, JT.
Okay. So would you go Bijan or JT? Wait. CMC or Bijan?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Just because.
So this is like
Elijah
this...
Mitchell is there, and whatchamacallit, in San Fran, you know he's going to be getting his at times. So it's like Bijan. It's like. That's tough, man. I don't really know for sure. Oh, man. That's why we need to get video on these podcasts so they can see all this random crap, man. Yeah, it's great having a cat. Anyways.
I'm almost on the boat of, like, Bijan.
Like number one running back?
Yeah. And like probably 101.
101 overall?
101. I'm pretty much almost there.
Does the format even matter? Full point?
No.
No. Bijan, no. 101. A rookie. Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
I don't think it has.
But to me, like, it's interesting. I don't know. Is standard league still a thing? Like, I feel like PPR is definitely like the thing now.
You're talking about like a standard, like
zero PPR.
That's gross.
Yeah.
I'm not.
So in any sort of PPR, I feel like Jefferson is in the conversation.
Right.
To me, Ja'Marr Chase, top five pick, but I don't know if he's in the same conversation as, you know, in the one-on-one conversation. I'm not taking him over Jefferson. Like Jefferson is not my number one wide receiver right now. So it's like Jefferson 101. Do you do that? Like, I feel like when I think about the last handful of years, it's like it's always a running back at 101.
That's accurate. Yeah. In our experience, anyways.
Would you go Jefferson over any of the running backs? Because, like, CMC always has that little, you're always a little worried.
Well, yeah. Because, I mean, you know,
Jefferson feels like he's super safe. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's solid. Like, he's always going to get you that 15 plus a week.
Well, wouldn't you feel the same way about perhaps Ja'Marr Chase? Or do you not feel that?
Like, I don't feel the same. I feel like his ups, like his ceiling is
50 like plus, 50 plus which we've seen.
His 50 plus, but then his lows can be like, well, yeah.
Yeah. But Justin Jefferson's pretty consistent.
Yeah, he's very consistent.
Okay. So the question is, would I take him at the 101?
Yeah.
In a full point? Whatever.
Forehand, it don't matter. Whatever.
It'd be hard to do just because you'd be, you know, fighting the system of what it's been laid out for how many years, you know, where it's usually running back, like you had stated, first 101.
But top three, like top five picks are going to be really, I mean, they always are, but.
Well, right. I mean,
they're exciting. I'm excited about the top five picks.
Should be an interesting redraft this year.
Yeah.
We should broadcast our redraft this year. No, I'm just saying we have to take this up a level.
Hey,
we got to control some of the guys in the league though from drinking so much.
Yeah, but anyways, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
We could probably do the first round, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and then we can. Yeah. Anyways, we'll leave that for when we actually go about doing that. Jackson Smith and the Jigma. I actually saw him going 102. In a couple rookie drafts in Dynasty.
Really?
Which is surprising. I mean, I didn't love his landing spot of Seattle.
In a Superflex?
Superflex, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bold.
He may have been drinking too. I don't know. But anyways, yeah. I mean, like I said, didn't love the landing spot of Seattle, but I get it. It's hard to pass on that talent. Green Bay Packers, way to go, a-holes. Yeah. I'm just, dude, come on.
I know.
Okay, I get it. It's not, you know, whatever. It's like, it would have been nice. You know, it was a sexy pick.
I know.
You know, let's go edge rusher. We need one. I get it. Whatever. It's fine. I just want a little bit of excitement. You know.
I know. I know. I hear you.
Always want more.
Coming up to the draft, I'm like, I can hope for it, but I just know that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then when Roger Goodell steps up to the podium, I was like, oh my gosh, they might actually do it.
Here we go.
And then they didn't.
No.
I was like, there was
a lot of talk around it, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, I saw him going at 102 in some drafts, even Superflex, like you stated. Somebody must have been really sold on him.
He got to, I mean, to take him over the quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, we'll get to some of the quarterbacks as well. Jahmyr Gibbs. I like Jahmyr Gibbs.
You obviously do.
I did. And that's just referring to Adam and I in our dynasty. I had traded him first and my pick in that first round to move up to take him. Actually, Adam took him and then I traded to get him.
Yep.
Because I did not think he'd take him. I probably should not have told him that that's where I was interested because he probably would have took JSN with that
pick. I did. My thought process going into it was I'm going to take one of the quarterbacks and I'm going to take JSN.
Mm-hmm.
And then regardless, like, As soon as Jahmyr goes 12, I'm like, oh crap, I gotta think about this now.
Right.
Because if you look at my roster, I needed a running back more than a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but do I do it? And then I was like, I think regardless of whether you told me or not, I was going to take Gibbs.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better, because looking back on it, I'm like, I shouldn't have probably told him that.
Yeah. Because, well, the interesting thing is, I think Gibbs is going to be locked and loaded, you know, at least his rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
JSN, I didn't love the landing spot. That was the thing. That was the thing for me. Is like, I remember when, again, Goodell came up to the podium, JSN to the Seahawks, it was like, crap. Like, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more and more I think about it, I'm like, it's fine.
It's fine.
But like, to me, it was like, I was thinking about like, where could he have gone that I would have been super happy with? And I was thinking of, if Houston wouldn't have traded up, he'd have been perfect at 12.
Well, yeah.
With CJ Stroud and JSN, I thought,
have that.
Then I would have locked it in. I'm taking a quarterback in JSN. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. I would have done it. I wouldn't even thought twice about it.
Well, they should have did that, and I'd still have my first round pick.
I know.
You
would have.
Yeah, probably. Jordan Addison. I love the landing spot. I love the Minnesota landing spot.
I love the landing spot. I love the player. He's my number two.
He's your number
in
two
the rookie class.
Behind JSN. Yeah.
I would not be shocked if he has a better rookie season than JSN. Wouldn't be shocked.
No, all. I agree with that. I actually fully expect that. I mean,
yeah,
being the essentially walking into the number two for Minnesota, a good passing offense. I mean, that kind of speaks volumes of what you're going to get out of him.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm on board with Jordan Addison. Traded him away, though, already. So,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That
was
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Would you rather have, like, now, we already did the draft. Are you Jordan Addison over QJ, or are you QJ over Jordan Addison?
I am Jordan Addison over QJ, just okay. For comfort.
Gotcha.
Just for comfort, because I like the Minnesota landing spot. I do like the quarterback situation better for QJ.
Right.
And we're referring to Quentin Johnston, who is next on my list for Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
Big body guy.
Yeah.
You know? But they do have Mike Williams, also a big body guy. And then, you know, Keenan Allen is still, you know, rolling around there. So it's one of those kind of situations, like the JSN one, where it's not super sexy because there's already two wide receivers there that are.
And not to even to mention Eckler. Eckler, you know, Eckler's
going to get, his too. Yeah. I mean, and he's going to demand his, because he was already trying to shop himself on the market. So he's going to need a little bit of
Yeah, it's definitely good for Justin Herbert and pretty much the whole team, really.
What about Zay Flowers to Baltimore?
It's interesting. Not a great landing spot. Mm-hmm. Like, you swap any of the guys here that go to Baltimore and they automatically become like wide receiver four mm-hmm. in this draft. Mm-hmm. But like before the draft, I was starting to like Zay Flowers more than I liked Quentin Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is what you believe in Baltimore, because if you think Baltimore is starting to change a little bit, they just signed Lamar, a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got him more weapons. They were even in the running for DeAndre Hopkins at one point that I saw before the draft. Like, they were really close to closing the deal, and then whatever happened, it must have fell through. But I do think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I was actually just trying to look up and see if, in fact, Lamar Jackson has had over 3,000 yards passing in a season. Because it's like, that's something that's kind of
important.
Yeah, especially for the wide receivers, especially a rookie wide receiver. If you're going into
Hollywood Brown was good even as a Raven.
That's true. I mean, he was picked in the first round and whatnot of his draft. I believe he was picked number 15. But, well, yeah, okay. He has passed the 3,000 mark one time in his five-year career up until this point. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, as it relates to your fantasy stats for your wide receiver, I mean, Lamar Jackson is still a fantasy-relevant quarterback, of course, with his running upside. But, yeah.
Your hope is that he becomes the number one guy for a run-first offense
mm-hmm.
that, like you said, maybe passes for 3,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, I guess in his defense, he was hurt. Well,
that was his MVP season.
This was going
3,100 yards, 31 3,127 yards. MVP season.
Sure.
36 touchdowns.
He did get better. Nice. He did get better as a passer since then, but he just hasn't stayed on the field.
Which is important.
Which is important.
If you want stats.
Right.
Do you think he knows that?
I think he might.
Oh, okay. Because I know he's an agent too. So I,
you know. Well, I think that was the whole thing with the big contract. You know, it's like, well, if you were healthy and we made a playoff push, then I don't think they would have any problem doling out that kind of money all the time. But
So now that he got the big, now he doesn't get any days off.
I don't think so.
I mean,
from the coach or the GM, I'm like, okay, well, you're in
now. Yeah, and this is guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not all guaranteed.
I know it's not all, but a lot of it's guaranteed.
A lot of it's guaranteed.
If they gave me $1 million guaranteed, I'd be pretty happy.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone $160 million or whatever the crap it is. What did you even? Oh, no. Okay. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole.
What was it? 252 or something like that? 180
guaranteed? 180
guaranteed. Or was it that high?
I think it was 240.
I was gonna say maybe it was 230. It was somewhere in the range.
It's still way more than 230
to 250. It's like that's wild to think
about
that.
I don't even think I could spend that in my lifetime. I'd try. I'm just saying, but I don't think I could do it.
I could put a good dent in it.
Can I put a dent in it? Yeah, but then I'd probably end up bankrupt anyways.
If you put the $200 million in the bank in the savings, and then you had 30 to 50 million to play with. I could put a
That's the thing, good dent in. I mean, some of the people that win the lottery, that's what they do, is they just live off of the interest that builds up on it. And that's the smart way to do
it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I plan on doing when I win the lottery, you know, which is inevitable. And I hope it does happen. Anthony Richardson to the Colts.
This was the best landing spot. I was not before the draft. Richardson wasn't even. Look behind the curtain. If you're looking into our dynasty, I had the 3rd overall pick and the 4th overall pick.
Right.
My plan going into it was like, before I had Herbert, I was thinking I might take 2 quarterbacks. And I was thinking I might not take any quarterbacks after I got Herbert.
Right.
Then I thought about it. I was like, I definitely have to take a quarterback. Otherwise, I'm just kind of ruining value, you know, of this pick. So, As we're getting closer to the draft, I'm like, okay, Bijan's going 1, and then I don't know what Tony's going to do. He's going to take Stroud or Young, and I'm like, I'm okay with either one, and then I'll take probably JSN, like I said before. Richardson was like, I figured you were going to take him. I figured he was going to go somewhere later in the draft, and then he goes to the Colts at the 4th overall, and I'm like, okay. That was way higher than I thought he was going to go.
Right.
By far the best landing spot out of any of the top three quarterbacks. Because to me, Young going to Carolina, I'm like, okay, I like that. Stroud going to Houston, I'm like, man, that's tough. Like,
just because it's such a dumpster fire.
Right. And it's like when they've been good, they've had Watson and some supporting cast, but it just seems like that whole franchise just seems like they can't get it together.
No.
And I don't think trading next year's, you know, first round pick to move up from 12 to 3. I don't
did him any favors.
No. Because I still think that's going to be a top 10 pick. I don't think Houston's turning it around with those two players. You know, Will Anderson's, he's probably going to be great.
Right.
But I don't know that was worth it.
But yeah, Anthony Richardson to the Colts. As a Colts fan, I don't know how to feel about it. Just because, I mean, we didn't even talk about Gardner Minshew going there. I mean, that's like a dream come true for me. I mean, it's like,
it was a fun dream for a couple months.
Yeah, it was. And then it got shattered in one night. But yeah, because it's like Gardner Minshew starts the season. Yeah.
I don't know anymore.
Man,
everything that
know.
I've been
I just
hearing
wanna
about
see a little bit.
Everything that I've been hearing about Richardson is he's going to be the guy. I mean, like, if Minshew plays, it might be 2 or 3 games, maybe 4.
Yeah, because the reports are saying they're like, he ain't going to learn how to be a starting quarterback if he's not the starting quarterback.
Right.
Which is, I get it, but it's like.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, like, before the draft, the reason I had him way lower was like, I feel like we had a class last year when Malik Willis, everyone thought, like, people were thinking he was going to go 101.
Yeah.
And he fell totally out of the first round. Second round comes around. I'm like, okay, someone's going to. And I think he went 3rd in the 3rd round. And so we've seen him on the field. Like we just talked, you know, he might not even make the roster.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I look at Richardson and like Malik Willis. It's pretty similar what everyone's saying, like super freak athlete, really good, you know, might really do some stuff. And I'm like, okay. So the NFL told us something like,
right,
you guys can talk all you want about Malik Willis, but we're not taking that chance.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Anthony Richardson comes around and I'm in that same mindset of this is the next Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
But then his athletic testing was better, the best that anybody ever did, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he played in the SEC, which I think is, you know, Malik Willis played at Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a little different.
Liberty.
A lot of people are saying Richardson has a lot in his arm. He's got a good pocket presence. It's just they need to tweak a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm like, for fantasy, I definitely get it. Like, I definitely had to think about it for a while before our draft. But when it came down to it, like Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson were like a tie for quarterback one.
Mm-hmm.
It depended on what your roster was. Like in my roster, like I said, I got Justin Herbert. I got Jimmy G.
I can kind of afford to shoot your shot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If it would have been Young there, like if Tony would have went Stroud,
mm-hmm,
I would have been a mess. I probably would have took Young, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I like
Richardson.
Comfort and safety of like Young is going to be the safe guy. But now that I took Richardson and I'm like, sweet, he's on my roster, I'm like all about Richardson. So
it's easy to become a fan of a lot of these people once they're on your roster.
Right.
I mean, that's how I felt about Kyler Murray last year, even though I swore off ever taking
him. He's still on my roster. So,
which you're crazy. I mean, you got to make room.
I'm not
with the garbage. You know what I'm saying? What do I got? Then we got Bryce Young to Carolina, CJ Stroud to Houston. You kind of glazed over them.
Right.
As far as, you know, landing spots being, you know, like I said, Houston is kind of a dumpster fire. You know, it's interesting if Houston could turn it around, or is this going to be like a David Carr situation way back in the day where they got him at the 101 and he just got his rear kicked and then eventually fell out of being relevant whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. I mean, I think that's why there's a couple like fantasy shows that I've listened to over the last week or two that some people still like Stroud at their quarterback one. And to me, it feels like, and I'm not the only one, to me, it feels like Stroud is definitely like solidified in that third quarterback.
Right. And that's actually how I feel about it too at this point.
So
as far as for fantasy aspect.
Right.
You know.
But he could surprise. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if in 3 years it's like Stroud was like by far the best quarterback in this draft. Like I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
But right now I'm like, I'd rather take the chance on the other guys.
Yeah, you gotta shoot for greatness.
Right.
Why only shoot for the stars when you shoot past them and then fall back on the stars?
Right.
Or something like that.
I mean, that's poetry.
The more you know, that's pretty deep stuff. Anyways, Dalton Kincaid to Buffalo.
Oh, man. Man.
It's tight end. It's a rookie.
I know. But like absolutely any other team, I'm just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, but it's the Bills.
Yeah,
and it's like Josh Allen's there.
And everyone is talking about him being the slot receiver. And it's like, man.
Yeah, because I mean,
that's juicy.
We've had the Gabe Davis experience. I mean, by now we have to be concluding that story, right? I mean, that's, I mean, you sold him to me for a first. I sold him away for a first. I feel like we did all right here.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Gabe Davis, he had so, what else do you want, man?
He's, I mean, he's one of the outside guys, you know, Khalil Shakir. I'm still kind of holding on to hope for him as a slot guy.
Yeah.
If Kincaid doesn't like totally take over the slot and bump Shakir back, but it just seems like they've been looking for the number two pass catcher behind Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like they haven't found the answer yet. Gabe Davis is good, not great in fantasy.
Right.
Like he has his ups and his downs as, you know, an NFL roster. I feel like it's fine.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah. Don't hear what we're not saying here. We're referring to it as a fantasy aspect because, in case you just noticed, that's what this show is. It's in the title.
So, like, Dalton Kincaid in Dynasty, like, I drafted him at the 110.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a show that you and I both like that they're like, they keep saying like, don't take a tight end in the first round.
Right.
But for me, it's like, once you're at the end of the first, it's just like,
it's almost like a comfort
nobody's
pick
guaranteed.
Because, yeah, because I mean, well, yeah, nobody's guaranteed, but like in that section of the draft, you're dealing with running backs that are in a handcuff situation or a wide receiver. Right. And
I'd much rather take the shot on Kincaid than, yeah.
Granted, you have the room on your roster.
Yeah, I do got to figure that out. I got to make.
I had it pretty well figured out until this Ezekiel Elliott news and possibly Tampa Bay. And
you
I'm
were
like,
going to cut Zeke?
What am I going to do with the man? I don't know. If he's not on a team, what good is he?
Yeah, that's true.
If you're not putting up points anywhere. But yeah, true. if he goes to Tampa Bay, then we're back, baby. Oh, man. Zach Charbonnet to Seattle.
Yeah, this was gross. This was bad for fantasy, like everywhere.
I mean, rolling in one of my dynasties with Kenneth Walker, I'm just, you know, floating on clouds, and then all of a sudden this happens, and I'm like, why are we going to do that?
To me, he was in the competition for running back two before the draft. After the first round happened, I was like, okay, he's definitely number three, unless he went to like Miami or somewhere that really needed a running back, like Miami. Or like New England would have been interesting.
Oh,
that would have sucked too, but it would have been interesting. I
mean, yeah.
Throw
some more hands.
Chicago.
In Chicago would have been decent. New Orleans, given the situation of Alvin Kamara, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not completely out on him, but it sucks. Like, I don't know what to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's like, it's Kenneth Walker's second year. This isn't like an age veteran, you know, where it's right. Like.
Does it speak into, I mean, I don't want to just start throwing stuff out there, but.
Throw.
Does this speak into that they don't have the confidence that we have the confidence in when it comes to.
I don't want to believe that. I mean, it's maybe that is how they feel, but I just don't want to believe that my perfect little world I got set up over
it's,
here.
It's two running backs in the second round year after year.
Mm-hmm.
Same spot.
Yep.
So it's weird.
It's possible.
But to me, it's like Pete Carroll's always wanted the two. After Marshawn Lynch, it was like Carson and Penny. Penny couldn't stay healthy, so it was mostly Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just felt like that's what they've wanted. That's what he's wanted forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a run-heavy guy, you know.
And then Penny's gone, and then Carson's gone, and, you know, so it's like, do we need to completely shy away from the whole thing? I don't think so, but they both definitely don't have the upside that
they
would have
prior.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Devin Achane to Miami.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really great.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really great.
He's my running back three.
Yeah, and that's a safe place to have him. Yeah. I mean, it's ideal. I mean, that offense is, you know, fantastic in Miami, and it's like you got Raheem Mostert, and
he was the guy that I was trying to trade up
into the first round
for Achane.
Mm.
Yeah,
in the first round,
I was trying to get the 112 from you, then Brandon.
Right. Oh yeah, that was
to take Achane. Yeah, we don't need.
We don't want to talk about that.
Brandon doesn't need.
He knows about it.
Doesn't need to hear about it.
I was happy about it. Helped out my dynasty roster. Helped him get his guy too.
Did he think that maybe Hooker was Levis and then Levis was Hooker and he just got confused? Or
what? Like when he picked him?
Yeah.
Hooker was his guy all along.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted Hooker bad. We're talking about Hooker for Detroit, just so we're clear about this situation.
Brandon.
We're not talking about other hookers. but yeah, Achane in Miami, fantastic landing spot for rookie running back. Probably, you know, outside of Bijan, he probably will have the best season. I mean, maybe Gibbs, but...
That's tough for me because I do think it's still crowded. Like, he definitely has to earn it.
Right.
It's not going to be just... He's in there. I mean, he is there.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
because you got Wilson there. You got Raheem Mostert, which are, you know, former 49ers
like
30 under
year
Daniels.
Old. Yeah.
So, you know, he loves them for some reason. You know, it's like, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
It's,
Tom Brady's going to be the quarterback probably. So
it's definitely, you know, I love it for Dynasty. I love, especially since I got him.
All right. Yeah, that helps. Which we discussed. If you have the guy, you seem to like the better.
In the redraft, I think it's like, it'll be interesting to see where he goes in ADP, like which round, you know, it'll be interesting. He's definitely gonna be more of a dart throw than he'll probably be somewhere in the middle. Okay, between like that 8 to 10 range.
Devin Achane or Dameon Pierce?
Dameon Pierce.
You're still on Pierce over him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just, cause since we had discussed Dameon Pierce earlier, I was like, let's throw this in there. Kendren Miller to Chicago. I mean New Orleans.
I love this one too. He was my running back. Well, Charbonnet and Achane were kind of tied for four for me, but mm-hmm. Miller was my number five, and I'm surprised that he slipped all the way to me. We don't need to, you know, talk about the draft, whatever, but mm-hmm. I got him in the third
round. Yeah, he's over there bragging it up.
I tried to trade up into the second. Like, when I took Achane in the early second, I was like, okay, Charbonnet's there. Charbonnet was taken right after me, and then I was like, okay, Miller was kind of my backfall. Like, if Achane was taken and then mm-hmm. Charbonnet, then I was like, okay, I'll take Miller. And then he kept going, and then I was like, I can see if I could trade up.
Well, since we're talking kind of, you know, dynasty drafts at the moment, in one of the ones that I had done, he actually fell to the third round in a 5-round rookie draft. Charbonnet.
Charbonnet?
Yeah, he actually fell down to the third round.
Really?
Yeah.
It was take that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a third round pick, but
it's gross. Like, the landing spot's not great, but I mean,
we're talking dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a redraft where, you know, does Charbonnet get picked in the top 10 rounds?
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, in a redraft.
In redraft. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting, too.
We'll find out during a redraft.
Yeah, we will.
Michael Mayer, Las Vegas, tight end.
No, on a redraft. Yeah, on a dynasty.
Okay.
Mid second round to the end of the second round kind of deal. Tight end premium, probably mid second round.
Marvin Mims Jr. in Denver.
It's crowded. Unless they trade somebody away. I'm like, in a dynasty, yeah, it's gonna be maybe a more patient kind of draft pick. In a redraft, I'm out.
I think by the beginning of the season there will be one less wide receiver on that team.
If there is, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Jonathan Mingo, you never heard of him.
He's probably going to be the number one.
I think he will. If not this year,
I mean, he came from the same college and he's got the same kind of frame as AJ Brown mm-hmm. and DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Big bodied wide receiver, stretched field. I mean, it's like got a rookie quarterback. Maybe they start building some chemistry, you know, after this year, maybe a decent rookie season next year. Ooh, yeah. Number one. Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Two other guys I want to talk about. Rishi Rice went to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I was surprised he didn't go earlier in our draft. I mean, I get it, but it's still Kansas City.
Yeah, he wasn't really gushed over prior to the draft. Right. But then once you go to Kansas City, yeah, I get it. I mean, and sometimes in, you know, fantasy, you gotta take the guy that's got the better quarterback situation.
Take the chance,
you know?
For sure.
I mean,
because if he's not going to be number one over Kelsey, but if he's number two, yeah, it's going to be
a pretty good number two.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what Patrick Mahomes did for Juju last year.
Yeah.
He made him fantasy relevant.
Right.
And this year he probably won't be.
Right. So, exactly.
But, you know, whatever. He wanted to be the number one in New England. So whatever, you know.
There was two picks in the third round that I thought were fantastic. One was made by me when I took Kendren Miller.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was actually made by Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Laporta.
Oh, tight end there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one, that was kind of...
Laporta did not get the hype of Mayer and Kincaid, but...
I think he was up there. Like he was
up there. He actually got picked before Mayer.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things like if the NFL sees him as a more valuable asset than Mayer, maybe, you know, us fantasy analysts were a little bit off.
I thought... Like to me, like if we're doing a redraft again, Mayer and Laporta should probably go in the mid second.
You mean in a dynasty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you redraft the rookie draft.
Yeah.
not a redraft.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. That's good.
Clear that up for you. Older, yeah.
In a redraft.
He's a little rusty. It's been about 5 months for this guy.
In a redraft, yeah, you're probably not super interested in a rookie tight end.
No.
But in a dynasty, I thought that was a really good pick.
Mm. Yeah.
So congratulations, Tony.
Way to go, Tony. You got anybody else you want to touch base on that are coming to the top of your head other than the ones I brought up?
Trying to think. No, Rishi Rice was like the last guy, I think, that I would talk about.
Yeah, because I wanted to add Jalen Hyatt to this list because I'm such a truther.
Yeah, what the heck happened? I was thinking, like, when it came to Green Bay's pick, I was like,
we might get Hyatt. I'm like, I'm totally cool with that. Sweet. Watson and Hyatt and then Dubs, they got, throw him in there, too. What
they got
crap?
Reed, and I was like, I actually don't even know who this guy
is. Let's watch some of his film. Oh, he caught a ball for Michigan State in the snow. I hope that pays off.
Yeah.
It shows he knows how to play in the snow.
That's but, cool. You know, NFL guys kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise we'd have those jobs, essentially. So, I mean,
it's a good point.
But then some of them are very bad at it, though, too.
It is true.
We could be those guys.
Yeah. So if Hyatt comes out and is like it legit.
Lights up the world.
Because you and I were both kind of. We were kind of texting back and forth. It's just like, well, before the draft, like when I was doing my mocks, I was like lining up picks. I had you taking Hyatt in the mid first.
Oh, yeah. I had him not getting out of the first.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the New York Giants. I want you to think about
that. In like the fourth round? Was it the third or fourth?
It was the third, I want to believe. He couldn't have
found the fourth. It was the fourth because it was a day three. I'm pretty sure it was Saturday deal.
I said I'm on it.
Fourth or fifth?
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's a fourth.
I could have swore he didn't escape the third, but I could be wrong because after I didn't see him go. Let's see. That would be the third round. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't question my authority.
Okay, so it was still day two. Yeah, so it's still
not sexy.
Yeah.
But it's better than day three.
It is true.
But it's to the New York Giants.
Yeah. Again, they have a lot of those same kind of archetype guys.
Yeah. They got Darius Slayton. They got, I can't even remember all their names, but they're all there.
All the same guys.
Yeah, they're all the same guys. Okay, Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard. Are these guys like 70 years old? Because I feel like they've been on the team since I was a kid.
Yeah, they got to be like 35 at this point.
It's insane. It's like they just don't go anywhere. Like nobody ever was like, hey, I'm interested in Darius Slayton. Can we trade for him? No, nobody has no interest in these guys.
They're just like a bench filler.
And they're
filler.
All the same guys.
Yeah.
And it is insane.
But you ended up getting Hyatt in like the two.
I did.
07 or 08 or something?
Yeah, something 209. Yeah, because it was like I was still big on him, but yeah,
why not?
But yeah, if he would have got a better landing spot, I would not have let him get out of the first round. And then moving on to the kind of it's kind of like a happy, sad story. Will Levis to Tennessee,
yeah,
in 2000,
I'd be willing to bet he gets a shot this year.
Oh, I bet he does.
He's definitely the future at this point,
right?
I mean, if we're saying Malik Willis might not even make the roster,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know what the future is with Tannehill.
Right. Now, is this Tannehill's last year?
I think so.
As far, on the contract? I'm pretty positive.
He's a trade talk right now.
People
are like rumoring him going to Atlanta. But
well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I guess that's reunite with Arthur Smith
as
well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I could see that being beneficial to Tannehill, but I know in Tennessee, like the fans are just kind of out on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
a Kirk Cousins deal where
kind of, yeah.
Like, you know, he's actually
he's good.
Like, for you to get like one of the best quarterbacks, like even you talking about Kyler Murray is like, he's actually pretty dang good. And here you are like with Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill, and you're like, well, not good enough. It's like, well, there's only 32 starting quarterbacks in this league, and they're pretty dang hard to come by, so
right. Don't get me started on Kyler Murray. I don't want to go there. I felt like I said my piece about him.
Kyler Murray is a good quarterback.
We have a whole year of me ripping on Kyler Murray, and he probably won't even be playing that much, so it don't really matter.
Looking forward to it.
Colt McCoy, baby. Let's roll. And then we're gonna go to our last segment for the evening. Unless you had any other people you want to
just
touch
one,
on?
I'll one mention other. Quickly Tajay Spears.
Tajay Spears.
He's probably like the last running back that I'd be willing to take a shot on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're somewhere in the mid second or whatever, he went to Tennessee. So, right. Derrick Henry's 30. I don't know if he's going to be when he's going to be 31, but you've been like since we started this podcast, you've been thinking like this is probably Derrick like Henry's 3 years
now.
Yeah, this is last season. Well, this might actually like he was another trade talk, you know, before the draft.
Do you think Henry could play till he's 50?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying because I spoke to the universe like 3 years ago. It's okay. He's over the edge. The wheels are going to fall off.
So if Tajay Spears, you know, if they don't do more of a committee this year, then Tajay is definitely like what Henry was when he was a, you know, he was behind who the heck was
Haskins?
No.
Wait, what did you say?
The Denver.
Are you talking about DeMarco Murray?
Yeah. I was going to say the Cowboys guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Murray. And then after Murray was done, it was like Henry came in and he ran over everybody.
Yeah. I thought you were going to make reference to Haskins, the backup running back there currently. And we saw a little bit of him last year. You think they saw enough to be like.
Eh. They definitely did.
Eh. Okay. Yeah. To go Spears, I suppose, in this draft. Yeah.
The things I've been hearing with Tajay is he has no ACL in one of his knees. So it's probably going to be like a one contract kind of deal, unless. Mm-hmm. Like things change dramatically.
So this guy is such a superb athlete. He's missing a muscle that I currently have, and he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
What a backwards world we live in.
He was.
Isn't it?
I think he was the third overall running back taken. Or no, that was Charbonnet. I think he's fourth.
But now, because I heard those reports as well. So isn't it like something to do with arthritis, similar to like Todd Gurley?
Yeah.
Okay, and we know what happened to Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
his star burned bright.
Weird situation.
And then he fell into a supernova.
But for them to take him, it had to be in the third round. It has to give you a little bit of confidence that maybe the doctor said, you know.
You don't even need those.
Maybe things are different now. I don't know.
You don't need ACLs.
Everything that I've been hearing when they talk about Tajay Spears, the name Jay Ajayi comes up. Because apparently Jay Ajayi didn't have ACL either. And he was pretty good in Philadelphia. So it's like, I don't know, maybe. Man, it's
it just blows my mind. Like, I feel like I need those.
You probably do.
No, I mean, I know I do. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. So is it just like bone on bone? That can be comfortable.
Know. I don't even, I don't know. Not a clue.
Yeah, whatever. Live for today.
He's the last rookie I'll bring up. It's interesting to me. It's like if Henry's done after this year or gets traded, it might be possible before the season. I don't know.
I mean, he's injured too. Yeah. We've seen that.
So if for whatever reason Henry's out, I think Tajay is going to be the guy in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. Yeah, our last segment is essentially referred to as
He's the man.
We're referring to a rookie that came out that we have high hopes for that we think would be beneficial in, well, I actually think in redraft and dynasty formats. So,
did we say we can't take Bijan?
You can't take Bijan? That's like, no.
Because when you said this to me, I was like, okay, this is going
to
be.
No, easy. This is supposed to be like a kind of like a sleeper type. He's the man.
Oh, a sleeper.
Well, I mean, it's one of those names that's out there that it's like, I guess I never thought about that. Kind of like you were just bringing up Spears and whatnot.
Okay.
So, you want to go first?
He's the man.
I mean, the guy, when you text this to me, the guy that I thought.
We should have probably checked to see if we had the same guys.
I don't think.
Because yours
what,
running back?
What you just explained to me was not what I thought this was.
Not a lot's changed on this program.
For me, if we're talking about, I guess, like we had said in redraft and in dynasty, my he's the man. If I can't take Bijan,
he's the man.
If I can't take Bijan, I'll take Jordan Addison.
Okay.
I think in dynasty, like I said, he's my number two guy. If I wasn't going to take JSN, it would have been Addison. Or if I couldn't take JSN, I would have taken Addison.
Mm-hmm.
And in redraft, they have Justin Jefferson. They have Hockenson, and then it's Addison. So to me, it's like we don't really know what's happening with Cook right now. Like we just had this conversation, with Cook. You have him in a league, and I was kind of looking at him in the delivery man league, and I was like, I don't even know what to offer right now. Like a second feels maybe right at first feels like way too much at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know. Do you throw 2 seconds at it? Do you just...
So you're trying to find like the Goldilocks one, like, the one that just feels just right.
Where the value is. Like, you know, it's like if I had Cook, would I take a second for Cook right now? It's like, I don't know. I guess it depends on what the team is. But, you know, we don't know if he makes the roster or if he gets traded, you know. There's talks to him to Miami, and that actually...
Can you imagine a world where the season starts and Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, and Kareem Hunt don't have a team?
It's weird.
That is a weird world we live in.
We're moving on.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like,
no Tom Brady.
No Tom Brady.
Aaron Rodgers is a Jet.
What year were you born?
1994.
Oh, okay. So you were around when Brady started. Yeah, I suppose. You were five. So.
I didn't care about football, actually, when Brady started.
I don't even know if you knew what a football was. You were probably still in diapers.
I grew up on Brett Favre and Reggie White.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the start for me.
Even then, what'd you have to be, like 6 years old?
Something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was your first words, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre might actually be the reason that I'm a Falcons fan, because they were the one that drafted him.
Oh, yeah.
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 But then I started liking Matt Ryan and Michael Turner and Roddy White.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of
Julio Jones
made it a thing.
Did you say Julio Jones?
I did not.
No.
Because sure. I liked Roddy White before Julio Jones. And then Julio Jones came along and I was like, yeah.
I thought there was somebody else that Roddy White, because Julio Jones to Roddy White
was... Oh, it was
Roddy
Tony White. Gonzalez.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez was there too, but I thought there was another wide receiver too. That like Roddy White was the Julio Jones of him.
Not that I remember.
Yeah, this is a long time ago. Dang it. But anyways. So you're
then Kyle Shanahan goes to San Fran, and that's when I became a San Fran fan.
Yeah, you just kind of follow him all over.
And then who was the guy? The guy that came from San Fran to Miami.
Mike McDaniels.
Yeah. I'm kind of a fan of...
So you just kind of go where any of these guys go.
I'm like
a decision tree.
Like it's like a roots thing. Like, you know, yeah. It's like it all kind of stems.
Yeah,
kind of
like Mike Holmgren, and there's like Andy Reid and all these other ones. Yeah. Yeah. So that's how that works.
Doug Peterson.
Steve Mariucci when he was a coach. That was before your time, probably.
Yeah.
And maybe.
Say, I don't know about that.
Do you want anything more to say about Jordan Addison?
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're talking about
Jordan. Yeah, you just went on a whole different direction. We started with Jordan Addison, and we ended up at Brett Favre to the... Yeah, human centipede back to Jordan Addison.
Okay. No, I think he's going to be... He was one of my favorite receivers, you know, before the draft. He was my number two receiver before the draft. You know, stays solidified as my number two after the draft, because he's got a great opportunity in Minnesota to be opposite Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get single coverage, as Justin Jefferson probably gets maybe even triple covered at times.
Mm-hmm.
Hockenson is still there, you know, and the interesting thing to me is like with Cook not being there. Yeah, I guess even if he is, he's older. Mm. So do they want to lean on Kirk more? Do they want to lean in the pass more? You know, their defense was just bad last year.
Right.
They were scoring. They were one of the highest scoring. They were one of the teams that was, what were they, 13? And they were like one of the teams that were like, they were a fake top seeded team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost in the first round. So it's like the games that they won, they were like
There was a whole bunch they won within one score.
Right.
Yeah.
So their defense is horrible, which when their defense is horrible, it's good for offense.
Right.
Good for fantasy players.
Offense, yeah.
So I think Addison has, to me, like in a redraft, I'd probably take Addison over JSN.
Mm, okay. Okay. Yeah. I could see him having a better rookie season in a sense over JSN, given the crowded wide receiving core of Seattle. Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, with Seattle taking Charbonnet too, it's like, okay, so they took JSN first, Charbonnet. It's like two big weapons in their offense, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like JSN and a tight end where it was like, okay, they're going to throw the ball. You know, I think they definitely sent the message, even with Walker there, still like, this is definitely going to be a better offense, but now it's DK, Lockett, JSN, Walker, Charbonnet.
Mm-hmm.
The tight ends are still there. I mean, there's a ton of them, but they're still there. So it's like it feels more of a cluster where it doesn't feel like, I mean, in Minnesota, it's Jefferson, Hockenson, Addison. if Cook is still there, he's older, but then there's Alexander Mattison.
Oh, wow. Kurt Cousin.
But yeah, it feels more clean. It feels more, you know what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Addison.
I like Addison too. I also like, he's the man. I like Chase Brown.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
If things fall his way.
That's the thing. And I am a gambling man.
I get it.
In fantasy football. That definitely. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where he was a running back at Illinois. He's kind of got the quintessential running back that you're looking for, over 200 pounds, you know, not the tallest guy in the world, but you don't need to be when you're over 200 pounds. And he's, you know, he had, I believe it was over 1,300 yards rushing last year for Illinois, right. And then 1,000 yards a year prior. But that's not what I'm gushing over. The fact that is like the whole Joe Mixon question mark situation. Is he going to have legal troubles? Cincinnati is like, they don't even know if they want him back.
They're saying if he doesn't take a pay cut, he's going to get cut.
Okay. Could you imagine a world where Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Kareem Hunt don't have a team at the beginning of the year?
It might happen. Oh, and I mean, with the legal troubles, like if Joe Mixon gets cut, with those guys being on free agency, does Joe Mixon find a place?
Oh,
you know, it's,
yeah, that's true.
Because would you rather have, I mean, Kareem Hunt? I mean, I guess Kareem Hunt still has his legal stuff too, but Zeke is much older. You know, it's like,
I might be riding a roller coaster here. They drop Mixon and then I fly to the sky with Chase Brown. But then they sign one of these running backs, like Dalvin Cook or something, or Ezekiel Elliott, and then I'm right back in the gutter. But nonetheless, it's like, if in fact that they don't go that route and they roll in that offense with Chase Brown, man, that is some killer upside for a running back. Sure. I could see him going, you know, being second in the Rookie of the Year votings behind Bijan in the running back position.
For sure.
You know, and that's a possibility from a guy who was a late-round pick. But walking into a pretty decent situation. That's why, you know, seeing how things play out. I mean, still early, technically, you know, actually we're kind of in the middle of the offseason. But, you know, just keep your eye on that situation, because that could be somebody that isn't on a lot of people's radar. But he could be, you know, kind of a big performer this year in the fantasy game.
One guy, I guess I'll bring up another guy. He's the man. One guy I'm nervous about as the dynasty manager of Khalil Herbert, Roshan Johnson, I'm a little nervous about.
Yeah. Yep. Because
Chicago Bears running back.
Because what his draft capital was better than Khalil Herbert's. Wasn't Khalil Herbert like in the fifth round?
I think a fifth round. I think Roshan was a fifth round.
Oh yeah,
too.
I think you're accurate with that. But I mean, Herbert, when he had his time to shine, he was great Herbert, in Chicago.
Yeah, Herbert's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, they bring in Foreman, so it's like,
yeah,
it's definitely going to be more of a split. Roshan probably takes more away from Foreman than Herbert. I think Herbert's probably fine, but I think Roshan is a legitimate back.
I could see Foreman being what Jamal Williams was to Detroit last year, which would be good for fantasy for him as far as the touchdowns upside goes, but, you know, it's too early to tell.
So like
TBD.
Herbert could probably be like the third down back, or like the in between the 20s back, and then Roshan and Foreman take the red zone touches and stuff. And if Herbert breaks off a big touchdown, that's probably,
which he did. Yeah. You know, I mean, and
he definitely, he's got some juice.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, and it's his time to shine. You know, with David Montgomery going to the Lions, so
for sure.
You know, time will tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we got for you in our comeback episode, yo.
Whoa.
Hello.
Feels good to be back.
Yeah.
So
there was a little bit of rust in there when I mentioned Emmitt Smith, but hey, you know what? it comes around.
No idea when we're going to be able to record again, but.
No, but it gives you faith that, hey, we're still here.
I mean, the whole reason that I was off, I guess we can say it now, because when I did leave for a little bit, my wife became pregnant.
I've been waiting this whole episode for this. It's like, I thought it was going to come up right away, and I was laughing about it when I was driving around today. If it's your first time listening, we're Delivery Men, hence the name of the show, for respectable companies. Adam's Glorified Paperboy.
Yep.
I am a box bandit.
My wife does not do very well with pregnancy, so she was very sick and out of the hospital all the time. We're going to have the baby at the end of June.
Matilda. Yep.
Matilda, exactly. Mm-hmm. So between now and then, I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of fantasy news that we should, you know, we'll talk about. But probably by the end of June, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll take it as it comes. And like I said, we're here for you cats. And yeah, like I said,
just subscribe. And then whenever a new show pops up, it'll be right there in your library.
Yeah. Who doesn't like getting surprises? I know I do.
Yeah.
I mean, good surprises, not like Bill's surprises.
Bill's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bills suck.
Unless you're talking about like the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, no.
Like,
the Bills are cool.
I'm talking about like the Bills.
Yeah. Like the Bills.
Like
homeowner Bills.
Gotcha. I follow.
Yeah. Good. Well, you rent, but you know, you're renters. Oh,
yeah, I got those bills.
Garbage. I like those bills more.
That's all we got.
That's all we got.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Delivery Men podcast.
Let's see if he remembers how to get out of this.
Do we now?
Well, we still have two sponsors.
Do we?
Well,
I mean, I feel like this is the renewed.
Well, I haven't hit them up yet.
Season four.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is season four.
Let's just close it out.
Do it.
So we get the money.
Oh, no, that's not nice. They've been here for us for how many years? Give the two, you know, cut that one that is no longer a sponsor, and then give the two their props.
Thank you to the sponsors, the Brothers 3 of Okato and Reimer Heating.
Boom shakalaka!
Of the Cribbage area.
Boom.
Thank you for listening. We are the Fantasy Football Deliveryman Podcast. Out.